Jesus, Master, have pity on us. Then he said to him, stand up and go. Your faith has saved you. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Today we have two stories about the cleansing of lepers. Two stories of two different kinds of cleansing. And they focus us on our common need for cleansing from our sin, for healing from our sin, and how our sin is a kind of leprosy that causes us to suffer and is, and in some ways causes us to be afflicted in our lives. Now, we have two different kinds of lepers in the scripture today. We have the proud leper like Naam, the Syrian general. Naam is a powerful man. He's the general of Assyria, which is the superpower of the world at the time. And as this general, he's kind of like the David Petraeus of his day. He is a very powerful man. And he's conquered all of Israel, the northern kingdom of Israel, and he discovers he has leprosy, and he goes, he's told that there's a holy man in Israel who can cure him, Elisha. So he goes down, he humbles himself, he says, well, I have to go to these people I've conquered and ask for their help. He goes down to Israel and he asks for the help of Elisha, who's not even part of the guild of prophets. It says Elisha was not a guild prophet. He was a sort of independent operator. And he goes down there and he asks Elisha for his help, and he's told that he should bathe himself in the waters of the River Jordan. And the Jordan is a pretty pathetic little stream compared to the big rivers up in Damascus, but he does what he's asked to do, and he goes down and he bathes himself and he's cured. And then he realizes who it is that has cured him. He goes back to Elisha and he offers him a gift. He wants to thank him, and Elisha says, no, no gift. And then he says, well, what I will do now is I will worship the God who has cured me. I will worship the God of Israel. And so in the ancient world, you couldn't worship the God of another place. You couldn't, you know, they thought gods were gods of a particular place or a particular people. So he can't worship the God of Israel back in Assyria, in Syria. So he said, you can only worship him when you're on Jewish soil. So he says, I'll take two cartloads of dirt back with me to Damascus, and then I'll put them out in my house somewhere, and when I stand on that dirt, then I'm standing on Jewish soil, and then I can worship the God of Israel. That's why he asks for that gift of two loads of dirt. But Naam is a powerful man who humbles himself to ask for help for his healing, and to ask for it for in an unlikely place. People he's conquered. In the gospel, we have humble lepers who are not powerful like Naam, just ordinary, humble, poor people who have no problem of asking for help, but they forget to say thank you. These lepers have been rejected by society. They're not even allowed into the town. By Levitical law, they have to stand outside of town. They have to announce their presence with a bell that says they are unclean. They cannot speak to someone directly or touch anyone. Imagine a life like that. Terrible. But these 10 lepers form a kind of minion. You know, in Jewish custom, their prayer groups are 10 men, a minion. And these 10 lepers are standing there outside of the gate of the town, and they form a kind of minion, and they make a prayer. Jesus, Master, have pity on us. They make their prayer for healing. Have pity on us. What a touching prayer. They know their need for healing. And Jesus takes pity on them and offers, he says, go and show yourselves to the priest. In those, under Levitical law, if you were cured of leprosy, you couldn't re-enter the town. You couldn't come back into society until the priest said so. He had to certify that you were clean. He had to inspect and see whether the sores were gone and whether you were healed up, whether there was any evidence of leprosy left. And so he says, go and show yourselves to the priest. And on the way, they realize that they're healed. And the Samaritan comes back, as you know, and throws himself on his face before the Lord and thanks him. We all need healing. all of us. We like to think, oh, those other people are lepers, but I'm okay. Those other people need healing from their sin, but I'm okay. But if we're honest with ourselves, we all need healing. We all have our sins, which are a kind of leprosy that separate us from others, that make us sick, that drag us down. Now, I want to talk to you about a very serious situation here in our parish, which many of you already know about. You may have received an email. We sent out 1,200 emails. Or you may, if you haven't, you may have seen the letter, which is in the bulletin today. And we encourage you to pick up a copy of the bulletin on your way out and read the letter regarding Mr. Robinson, Larry Robinson. I want to talk to you about the condition of sexual sin and how it is a kind of leprosy that affects us all in our society. As you may know, Larry was indicted for several counts of possession of child pornography and distribution of it through the internet, forwarding it on via the internet. And our prayers are with the children who may have been harmed. Our prayers are with Larry's family and with Larry. And this is a painful thing. As far as we know, no child was ever affected. This was all over the internet. No child was ever affected here in our parish, that is. There are obviously people affected by this, because these are real people who are harmed. But in our parish, no child was touched and no one has been harmed. But we want to talk to you about it because it's important that you know and that we be aware of the problem. And we will have a meeting here in our parish at 7:30 on Monday night in the Family Life Center for any parents and youth leaders who may want to talk about this. And we encourage you to come. It is not a meeting for children. We want to speak frankly about it, so we do not encourage you to bring your children. So make other arrangements for your kids if you're coming to the meeting. We live in this internet age, and we have invited a roaring lion into our homes. You know, when we depicted St. Jerome in the glass up here, I had a lion put next to him, partly because he is the lion of the scriptures, he is the voice of the scriptures, but also because Jerome had a particular spiritual problem of his own, that was lust, and he described it as a roaring lion, a lion that almost devoured him. And he struggled with it all his life. I believe that we have, through the internet, allowed the roaring lion to come into our homes, come into our lives. And there's a kind of myth about the internet that this is all unreal. You know, it all takes place on a screen in our family room, in our bedroom, in our office, in our living room. It all takes place in the silence of our homes, in privacy, but somehow we think that this is not real. But there's a real person caught up in that World Wide Web. There's a real person in that photograph. There's a real person at the other end of this chain of connection who's affected by this, and especially the children who are affected by this. Internet pornography is a plague, and child pornography is an abomination. It is a leprosy that is affecting our society. And people who go on the internet, they somehow think that their lives, that this is a kind of harmless thing, that it doesn't affect anyone, but it does. You know, people have an unreal idea. They put the most amazing personal details out on the internet. This Facebook nonsense, I think, is just crazy. You know what? If you want to be my friend, be my real life friend, be my flesh and blood friend. You got to come here and meet me. That's how you can be my friend. I've gotten all these invitations to be people's friend on the internet. I'm not anybody's friend on the internet. And I think that this business of sex over the internet is just, it makes a travesty of sex. Sex is sacred. It is holy. It is a gift to us to show love. It is God's way of allowing us to show the most intimate and sincere love. It is not a way to exploit people. It is not a way to degrade them. It is not a way to embarrass people or to perpetrate violence against them. And much of this is violent. But people somehow have this feeling that anything they do over the internet is unreal, it's virtual. If you don't know what sexting is, ask your teenager. Our kids send around naked pictures of themselves over their telephones, and they think it's a joke. And if we don't think there are consequences to this stuff, think of that poor young man up at Rutgers University who committed suicide after his intimate encounter, inappropriate as it was, but he was put on the internet. And you can't unring that bell. You can never unring that bell. And he threw himself off of the George Washington Bridge. Because he knew ever after, any time he applied for a job or a security clearance or an apartment, as soon as they did a Google search on him, up it comes. There's no way to erase that. It's always out there. Somebody could always find it. This video of him that went viral over the internet. The internet is a roaring lion we have invited into our homes. And it is a danger if we don't take it seriously. It has its uses. I sent, our webmaster sent out 1,200 copies of this letter, on Thursday night. Because you could do that. It's useful for something like that. But the fact is, we have to figure out how to contain it. Now, to our knowledge, no child was harmed here in our parish. And no child that, and we have taken action as quickly as we knew the facts. I cannot say everything as it transpired over the last few months, but as soon as Larry came to me himself, personally, last fall, and as soon as he did, we removed him from anything that had to do with children in our parish, altar servers, teaching at CCD, and he did that voluntarily. And I have to say, this is terribly painful. The fact is, I've known Larry since he was 14 years old. He grew up in this parish. He's a good person. He's a very good person. He's a sincere person. He's struggling to live the Christian life like each of us here. And I know his mother and his sister. I, like St. Paul regards Timothy as his spiritual son, I regard Larry as a spiritual son. And we are aware of this struggle, but this is the struggle of many people. And we are concerned about, of course concerned about the victims, also I realize that in some ways he's a victim. And I don't abandon him now. I don't throw my friends under the bus just because they get in trouble. We asked him in the spring when we were aware of the legal processes to resign from the pastoral council, which he did at the end of the year, 2 years before his term ended. Sex is the Achilles heel of the moral life. It is a weakness that we all have, and we have to be aware of it. You know what the Achilles heel is? You remember Achilles, the great hero of the Trojan War. Achilles, his mother, Thetis, wanted to protect him from all harm, as all parents do, and so she dipped him in the river Styx. She was told that if she dipped him in the waters of the river Styx, which is the river that leads to eternal life, that crosses over to the next world in Greek mythology, he would be invulnerable to all harm. So she dipped him, but when she did that, she had to hold him somewhere, so she held him by his heel and dipped him into the water. And so the heel was the only part that didn't go in the water, and that was his only vulnerable part. And so where did the arrow hit him? In the heel. We all of us have our weak point. We all of us have our Achilles heel, and I think sex is the Achilles heel of the moral life for all of us. And it is a real danger if we don't take it seriously. It is a great blessing if we understand the teaching of the church on sexuality. As I said, it is meant to be the highest and best expression of love. It is not, as Satan would have it, and I think Satan makes us want to do, is not meant to be an exploitation of others or violence or a way of showing hatred for others. People who have this addiction need our prayer. We all should be aware, too, that this is not just merely a private matter. We are all one keystroke away from committing a crime. One keystroke away from committing a crime. And that this sting operation, which was set up in 2006, is for the protection of children. It is a vigilance that society has to have. But people often think, well, this doesn't matter. It takes place in my home. No, you're one keystroke away from committing a crime, a felony, and has serious consequences in our lives. It's not just Larry that was caught up in this crisis, this addiction, this web. I've seen marriages of more than 20 years break up over internet addiction to pornography. I've seen engagements broken off because of internet addiction to pornography. It is a kind of leprosy that is affecting our society. We know how to take measures to protect ourselves from it. We have to turn off the internet at night. We have to regulate its use. We have to see its dangers. We have to limit its availability. We have to be aware that it is a roaring lion that we invite into our homes. And we also have to pray. You know, we're going to have an appeal at the end of Mass for Eucharistic Adoration. Pray. Bring yourself before God. You know, when I was in the seminary and I talked to my spiritual director about my own problems with lust, he said, you know what you must do? You must fall before the Lord when you feel these temptations. You must fall before the Lord. And he meant it literally. If you're out in the street, if you're in the library, if you're in the lunchroom at the university, fall down. Better to embarrass yourself falling down in the middle of the street. If you see me fall down in front of Walmart, you'll know why. Better to embarrass yourself that way than to be entrapped by these temptations. We have to fall before the Lord. And we have to pray. Pray for each other. Pray for people who are similarly affected by this. Let us pray for purity of heart, for purity of mind, for purity of thought, for purity in our deeds. Let us invoke our Blessed Mother, Mary Immaculate, to help her by our prayers. Let us pray for all of the children affected by this. Let us pray for Larry and for all of the adults whose lives have been damaged and injured by this. Let's pray for them now. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. May the healing grace of Jesus Christ, may the healing waters of our baptism, which cleansed us from sin, cure us from our spiritual leprosy. May we hear the words of Jesus spoken to us. Stand up and go. Your faith has saved you. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, one in being with his Father. Through him all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation he came down from heaven. By the power of For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered, died, and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in fulfillment of the scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end.
We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. With the Father and the Son, he is worshipped and glorified. He has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. With confidence that God gives us the grace to overcome our sin, we make our prayers in the name of Jesus.
For forgiveness of our sins, that like the lepers in today's gospel, we may be made clean, we pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For a willingness to die to self, so that we might live in Christ and persevere in holiness, we pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For the protection of all children from exploitation and abuse, that they might enjoy happiness and innocence, we pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For all those struggling to live lives of chastity and virtue in an unchaste world, especially for those who struggle with addiction to pornography, we pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For respect for human life from conception to natural death, and for the success of our 40 Days for Life program, we pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For priests, deacons, and men and women in consecrated life, and for an increase in these vocations, we pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For the people of our sister parish in Nicaragua who are struggling with floods, and for our sister parish in Mexico that is struggling with violent crime, we pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
And for what other intention shall we pray?
Lord, hear our prayer.
Lord, hear our prayer.
Lord, hear our prayer.
Lord, hear our prayer. And for those intentions we hold in our hearts, we pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For those who need our prayers, for those who ask for our prayers, for the sick of our parish, especially those confined in hospitals, nursing homes, detention centers, treatment centers, and their own homes, we pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
And for our beloved dead, especially Patricia Hotkiss, Manya Stetzel, Earl Kilpatrick, Jane Hildy, Ken Tejan, and for all the deceased members of our parish and our families, we pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer. Almighty God, we thank you for the grace and the waters of baptism that has healed each one of us. May we be renewed in that grace each day. We pray these and all things through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
As the gifts are being brought forward, let us sing together number 754, Precious Lord, Take My Hand. Number 754.
Thank you. May the Lord accept the sacrifice at your hands for the praise and glory of his name, for our good and the good of all of his church.
Lord, our God, accept the prayers we give and the offering of faith and love. That his Eucharist bring us to your glory. We ask this in the name of Jesus the Lord.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
We lift them up to the Lord. Give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give him thanks and praise.
Praise the Lord and the angels and saints as we join in their songs of joy. helped us to seek and find you. Again and again, you offered to us a covenant. Through the prophets, you brought us the hope of salvation. Father, you so loved the world that in the fullness of time, you sent your only Son to be our Savior. He was conceived through the power of the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, and then, like us, in all things, to the poor, he proclaimed the good news of salvation, to prisoners, freedom, to those in sorrow, of joy. And in fulfillment of your will, he gave himself unto death. But by rising from the dead, he destroyed death and destroyed life, that we might live no longer for ourselves, but for him, in the sense of Holy Spirit, for a new Father, as his first gift to those who believe, to complete his work here on earth, and bring us to the presence of the Father, may the same Holy Spirit, not sanctified through offering, let them become the body and blood of Jesus Christ, our Lord, and celebrate the great mystery which you have told us as an everlasting covenant. For he always loved those who renounced him, for when the time came for him to be glorified by his heavenly Father, he showed the depth of his love. While they were at supper, he took bread and gave him thanks and praise. He broke the bread, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Take this, all of you, and eat it. This is my body, which is given up for you." The same way he took the cup filled with wine, and then he gave him thanks and praise, he gave the cup to his disciples and said, "Take this, all of you, and drink from it. This is the cup of my blood, the blood of the new and everlasting covenant. It will be shed for you and for all, so that sins may be forgiven. Do this in memory of me." Let us proclaim the mystery of
Our communion hymn today is number 924, Song of the Body of Christ, number 924.
Thank you.
At this time, I'd like to invite Missy Haskins to come forward to talk to us about Eucharistic adoration and to speak to us about our need for the presence of the Lord in our lives.
Good morning, everybody. I think Father introduced me already. I want to thank Father personally for giving each of the adorers time after each Mass to share with you what adoration means to us. And a personal thank you for that beautiful homily. You truly have the heart of a shepherd. Thank you. And to you for giving us this time, because it is time that you can't just go out the door. So just bear with me. I promise it won't be too long. Okay, if my papers don't slide. My talk this afternoon is about miracles. And not just miracles. There are two miracles in particular. One is documented, and the other is personal. And these are not just miracles, but miracles of the heart. Miracles of the heart through the Eucharist. The first is a true treasure of the church, It's the Eucharistic miracle of La Siano. And due to lack of time, and I don't want to put too much in it, I'm just going to highlight it. I do have brochures that were done by Mike, our go-to girl at the office, to kind of fill you in on this miracle if you've never heard of it before. This miracle occurred in the 8th century to a Basilian monk. His soul was suffering with doubt about the true presence of Christ in the Eucharist. During the consecration, as he was celebrating Mass and lifting the host, he prayed a quiet, honest prayer. I do believe, Lord. Bless my unbelief. And the Lord responded with a profound miracle. The host went limp and turned into flesh, and the wine in the chalice coagulated into 5 drops of blood. This 1,500-year-old miracle has been scientifically tested in the 1970s. The findings were incredible. The flesh was not just a piece of flesh, but a very intricate part, the center of a human heart. And secondly, those 5 coagulated drops of blood were more like now petrified stones, but when tested, had all the properties of freshly shed blood. Was this Eucharist miracle just for that time, or does it still speak to us today? I present this question to you, and I truly ask you to think about this. In John chapter 6, when Jesus says, "For my flesh is real food, and my blood is real drink," do you think maybe that he meant is when we receive him, we receive his heart? And if we truly could understand that and wrap our minds around it, so when his heart is knocking on the door of our heart after communion, we would truly cry out like St. Paul, "It is not I that live, but Christ who lives in me." And in the light of that same miracle of Lanciano, what is Eucharist adoration? For me, it is nothing more than one heart speaking to another, a heart-to-heart conversation. And in the light of this true presence of the Eucharistic and Sacred Heart of our Lord, I realize how much my heart needs healing. And all I want to pray is Psalm 51 from David. "Create for me a clean heart, O Lord, and put a steadfast spirit within me. For I know this heart. This heart is broken and diseased, broken with disappointments and rejections, diseased with jealousies and unforgiveness, and the most deadly is unforgiveness, a real heart stopper. For you see, my unforgiving heart had bad blood flowing through those arteries, bitterness, resentment, and hatred. And the muscle of the heart, supposed to be called mercy and compassion, was not being exercised, causing it to get hard. And the lungs, which is the soul of the spirit, which is supposed to be giving life from the oxygen of the breath of this spirit, was almost non-existent. It was restricted. I was dying, and I didn't even know it. The Lord made this very clear to me in one of these heart-to-heart conversations. It started as a gentle nudge. "Forgive him." "Oh, I can't, Lord. He was driving that night, not her. Her life was taken, not his. Forgive." "Oh, I can't, Lord. His mom still has a son, and his sibling, a brother to talk to and share with. My mom and dad have one less daughter, and I have one less sister to share my dreams and hope with. Now, just an empty void. Then an ever so gentle tugging at my heart. If today you hear my voice, harden not your heart, or I can't heal you. Lord, I don't know how. Just choose, and I'll do the rest. So I choose, and I keep on choosing, his will over mine, and the healing of my heart becomes our two hearts beating together as one once more. Is this not God's desire for all of us? Didn't he promise us in Ezekiel 36, if you will give me a new heart, he'll give us a new heart. He'll take from us our stony hearts and give us a natural heart. He will be our God, and we will be his people. So I invite you, I urge you to spend 1 hour a week, if you can, or as often as you can, and kneel before the Lord. Let this gentle, divine physician operate on your heart. And here's the really neat part. You become the miracle. With this new heart that goes out into the world to be the heart of Christ to others, and I dare to say, greater than the miracle of La Ciano.
My thanks to Missy and to all the adorers who have given talks at each of the masses this week. We urge you to sign up. We have a sign up this week and next week, and we need prayer. All of us need prayer in our lives. We need peace. We need to be away from all the interruptions of the modern world. And that the church offers us 1 hour of adoration, and we encourage you to sign up and be part of it and pray. The work of the church is charity and prayer, the two things that the church brings to the world. Our prayer and charity, and we have to have both. And so we urge you to pray, and we thank them for praying for us. We want to encourage the high school students to be part of our youth group. We'll be meeting on Thursday night now instead of on Wednesday at 7 p.m. It's because the Wednesday was too crowded that evening, so they need a little more time. They'll meet at 7 p.m. on Thursday. And that's all grades 8 through 12. This coming Saturday, there is a Saturday-long Christian rock festival at St. Joseph's in Pomfret, which includes games, a rock climbing wall, include a mass. We encourage anybody 8th grade through 12th grade to go. The bus will leave the Family Life Center at 10 a.m. on Saturday. There are too many things going on this coming weekend. Sunday, there's a talk about chastity, a timely talk about achieving chastity or seeking chastity, and it's called No Imitations. It's for our teens, but the parents are invited to go. It will be at Jesus the Good Shepherd. It's a deanery-wide event, and the bus will leave from our Family Life Center at 6 p.m. if you want to ride the bus. I think the talk is at 7 at Jesus the Good Shepherd. Also, next weekend is the Women's Retreat. All the women of the parish and of the deanery are invited for the Calvert County Women's Retreat. Father John Welsh will be the retreat master. Father Welsh used to help out here in this parish. He's a La Salette missioner and an excellent speaker. So we encourage you to go. And if you need some help with that, don't let costs stand in your way. Come see me, and we'll try to work it out. RCIA continues to meet on Thursday evenings, and we invite you to invite someone. And we encourage you to pick up a copy of the bulletin and to read the letter that's in it. Now, let us pray. Almighty Father, may the body and blood of your Son give us a share in his life, for he is our Lord forever and ever.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
May Almighty God bless you this day, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Thanks be to God.
And let us go forth singing number 686. Sing a new song. Number 686.
Your state.